Trade tensions are on the rise, and so are interest rates. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton gets macro with a financial analyst to see how the pieces of the puzzle are coming together for the remainder of 2018. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. And for this interview, we're going to pull back a little and look at the economic flow in a macro way. We have the brewing trade and tariff battles that could impact the markets, but they have not so far in any discernible way. We have the tax cuts that went into effect in January that are a goose to the economy that some analysts see as a tailwind, even if it is a sugar high. And then there's the Federal Reserve and its goal of getting back to normal interest rates. More on the Fed in a minute. Finally, the consumer, the American economy, 70% depends on us buying stuff and then, you know, more stuff. Overall, the state of play right now economically is pretty solid.
Economic expansions don't die of old age, but they do get killed off by central banks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the risk of, you know, the Federal Reserve continuing to raise interest rates does pose some risk to the economic expansion eventually.
The Fed wants to raise interest rates probably two more times this year. The money is on September and December. The Fed has raised rates in the past two Decembers, actually. In a rather unprecedented way, President Trump has publicly pushed for the Fed to not raise rates. Normally, the political side stays out of the Fed's business, and it operates independent of that potential influence. Trump isn't much for a hands-off approach, though. Trade, wages, inflation, it all comes together as we gauge the rest of the year. Okay, here we go.
Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst, Bankrate.com.
Let's start with trade. I'm watching this trade tension headlines, right? China versus U.S., U.S. versus Mexico and Canada, U.S. versus China, U.S. versus EU even. When is that going to hit the markets? Because I'm not seeing a lot of ripples through Wall Street yet.
You're right. We haven't. And I think a lot of that is, you know, due to a couple of things. One, I think there's, you know, still maybe some belief in the long game here that all this, you know, short-term trade spats and disputes and tariffs in the end results in better trade deals that are more favorable to the U.S. in the long run. And I think the other side of this is that, you know, a lot of these countries that we're engaging in trade disputes with, they've got more to lose in this than we do, than the U.S. does. And I think that's why you're seeing that kind of reaction from the U.S. market, because that same trend does not hold when you look at international markets. You look at the Chinese market, for example, it's down, you know, pretty sharply. Well, they've got a lot more to lose in this because they are much more export dependent. So, right. You know, I think that's it. Now, that's not to be completely excused. I mean, there's a whistling past the graveyard component here in that, you know, if things go from bad to worse and we do start to see this really having a, you know, becoming a significant headwind to the global economy, and, you know, ultimately that would affect the U.S. economy, then the markets are going to react much, much differently. But for now, I think there's still a lot of faith in playing the long game.
Right. I'm looking at the VIX right now. It's completely unchanged, and the S&P is pushing towards a new all-time record high. So you're totally right, I think. Are you saying it's more short-term pain, long-term gain?
I think that's the way that the market, you know, and traders and investors are looking at it at this point. Now, again, that can change. And if that outlook changes, it can change quickly. And, you know, so too will the direction in the markets.
I think that for me, the trade tensions, I think you're right. We are impervious to it right now until it starts hitting bottom lines in corporate earnings. And that might not happen until Q4.
Yeah, I agree, because a lot of these tariffs have been talked about, but they haven't actually been implemented yet. And there's also the inflationary component here, too, in the sense that these tariffs start showing up and having an impact on business costs, consumer costs, and really start hitting the consumer in the wallet. That's where the economic impact comes from, because inflation has already been moving up and it's already devouring most of, if not all of, the wage gains that households are seeing. Mm-hmm. You layer in another boost to inflation from tariffs, and it's just going to further squeeze consumer buying power. Our economy, 70% dependent on consumer spending. So, you know, I think therein lies the risk. And I think you're right. I think as we get closer to the end of the year, that's where we're going to have to be focusing to see if there's an impact.
All right, Greg, you mentioned the I word there. So let's land on inflation for a second. It's gobbling up or counteracting any kind of wage gains we've kind of seen, which has been okay because that's zero sum almost. I guess my question would have to be, if inflation is doing this and it's canceling out wage gains and the Fed still wants to normalize, and the trade is coming. I mean, it gets kind of complex when you put all this together, when you throw the Fed into the mix, doesn't it?
I think it does. And I mean, again, not overnight, but I think that when the Fed is raising interest rates, you know, let's boil that down. They're raising the cost of money. Mm-hmm. Money is becoming more expensive. And so, you know, the squeeze on consumer buying power, it makes it difficult to sustain this, the pace of economic growth that we're currently seeing. You know, I think that's why you do see, you know, a lot of skepticism as to, you know, how long the economy can continue to perform as well as it is performing right now. And, you know, the economy does move in cycles. And it, in the past, you know, economic expansion, you know, old expression, the economic expansions don't die of old age, but they do get killed off by central banks. Mm-hmm. The risk of, you know, the Federal Reserve continuing to raise interest rates does pose some risk to the economic expansion eventually, the whole trade dispute, you know, notwithstanding.
Anecdotally speaking, of course, Elon Musk has said he wants to take his company private. A lot of headlines today are calling that a Tesla top with the expansion in the market, comparing it to 1988 with RJR Nabisco going private, too. So I just want to throw that in there as an anecdote. It's kind of day of news, I know, and we're trying to look ahead a little bit. But you mentioned the expansion. We've been in expansion for a long time now. It's getting a little long in the tooth. What do you see on that end?
The economy is doing very well. And like I said, you know, the economic expansions don't necessarily die of old age, but you have to look at what the risk factors are. And the risk factors at this point are, you know, the cost of money is going up. Deficits are going up. That puts a further upward influence on interest rates sooner or later. Mm-hmm. There are some risks out there. And again, the consumer's buying power is not growing. You know, unemployment's low, more people are working, people are finally making more money. Problem is, inflation's starting to pick up right around the same time, and so you're not really seeing that expansion of buying power. And, you know, consumers are starting to, you know, get a little over-leveraged again. You know, you see people are not afraid to borrow in an environment mm-hmm. where the economy's doing well. But, you know, this is the time to make hay while the sun shines. This is the time to be paying down debt, particularly variable rate debts, boost your savings. That way you're better positioned to weather an economic storm whenever that may come. And look, Jason, it may be a couple years away, but again, now's the time to be preparing for the time when things aren't as good as they are today.
Greg, I don't like to draw politics into it, but it seems to me like every administration, no matter what side, every administration's main job is to protect the country and run the economy. And when you have tax cuts, and you already have a growth expansion we've talked about, you have tax cuts, which are a tailwind when it comes to the economy. It seems to me that the economic policy is a bit bifurcated when you add in the trade tensions at the same time. They could cancel each other out, which might be good or bad, depending on the inflation aspect of it. You can see where I'm going with this. These dominoes keep falling. What can we expect for like the rest of this year?
You layer in the, where the economy is with inflation has moved up to the Fed's target, and the economy's humming along. I mean, you know, 4% growth, 4.1% growth in the second quarter. Unemployment continues to come down. There are more open jobs than there are unemployed people right now. The economy's humming along. All that adds up to the Fed's going to continue to be active. They're going to continue to raise interest rates, but they're going to try to maintain this gradual pace as much as they can because they know history. They don't want it to be the Fed that steers the economy into a ditch. Inflation's kind of the wild card there. Inflation could force the hand of the Fed into being more aggressive with interest rates, raising interest rates faster in an effort to tamp down inflation if we get to that point. Fortunately, we're not there yet, and we may not get there, but that is certainly a, you know, a risk factor as it involves the Fed going forward.
We're coming out of a really hot and positive, I think 80% corporate earnings were above expectations this last report. Are we going to see that follow through in the next quarter, or are we going to start seeing some blowback from the trade stuff?
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be more trade impact starting to creep in. But I think the other thing is, you know, a lot of these results that have been so very, very strong, a lot of that has been aided by the corporate tax rate cut. There's a short-term boost from that. You know, you're going to, you know, you'll lose your year-over-year comps at the end of the year on that. So that can be short-lived. And investors, they've kind of got the show-me-the-money attitude, right? They want to see where the growth is going to be, and they, you know, want to see sustainable growth, right? You got to kind of strip out those one-time effects and just kind of look and see, is, you know, is there some consistency in the growth patterns. You look at, you know, companies like Facebook or Twitter, where they come out and they say, yeah, the growth isn't going to be what we thought it was going to be. And then, boom, their stock drops 20% the next day. So, you know, you're getting markets near, you know, a record high. Interest rates are on the way up. Investors are being a little bit more discerning about the growth and, you know, where that's going to come from in the future. So, you know, I would expect some more choppiness in markets as we get to the back half of the year if you do start to see some earnings disappointments or not even earnings disappointments, just revenue disappointments, you know, because that what disappoints on the top line this quarter could be the bottom line disappointment next quarter.
That's a very good point. And to your point about Facebook, too, I think if you're priced for perfection. It seems like late stage capitalism in a macro kind of way. When you're priced for perfection every quarter as you go forward, that's not sustainable. That's not how nature works.
Yeah, I think that was very well said, you know, late stage. And you're right. When you're priced for perfection, there's no room for a misstep.
Greg McBride, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
That was Greg McBride. He's a senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Economically speaking, according to TheBalance.com, the GDP growth rate is expected to remain between the 2% and 3% ideal range. Unemployment is forecast to continue at its natural rate, and there is not much inflation or deflation. That's referred to as a Goldilocks economy. President Trump promised to increase economic growth to 4%, and that's faster than is healthy, however, according to The Balance. If things heat up too fast, then inflation kicks in. And as you heard Greg say, inflation has been at pace with wages. If inflation picks up its pace, though, I doubt employers are going to match it with concurrent salaries and raises. Remember, though, that the inflation rate strips out the volatile pricing that comes from food and gasoline. Anything geopolitical could spike oil costs, and anything environmental could spike the cost of food. I'm not saying, just saying. And that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, and we hope you liked the stories and guests because we did. You can find us online at kgoradio.com/techonomics. We are at facebook.com/techonomicsradio as well. And I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason. For producer Liana Wilcox, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks again, and have great weeks, everybody.